88.5 KCSN. Jeff Penfield here, joined by Tom Cusimano of local band The Walcotts. A little while back, they did a live concert for us outside of Studio V at Westfield Topanga. We're going to be playing some tracks from that, which are on their new album, Let the Devil Win. Thank you so much for stopping on by today, Tom.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks so much.
So I guess really, you know, for us supporting a local band, you know, we always kind of like to see where did it all come from? How did especially, because in that case, there were nine of you that day who came on by, which was great. Our guys loved it. I asked them, hey, do you want to do nine? And they're like, yeah, sure, we could do it. I'm like, okay.
We'll squeeze on any stage.
But anyway, how did everybody get together for the band?
Well, it goes back, actually probably goes back 13 years, even though the band's only about 4 years old. Jim Olson, the drummer, and myself have been playing together since 2003. We had a band before this that couldn't get arrested, basically. And that got put to bed in probably 2010 or something. We met Devin, the violin player, in San Diego when I was living there. We've been playing with him since about 2008. I was down there for a little while. We met Laura about 2.5 years ago. And we had a different female vocalist in the band, and she kind of wasn't into it as much, and we knew she was moving away. And it was kind of one of those things where, okay, well, let's find somebody who's really into it. And Laura is, you know, she sings with a few other bands. We had brought her in to sing backup when we backed up Mark Ford one time. We had him come into our residency at Harvard and Stone, and we backed him up, and he let me pick the set list, which was kind of cool because he got a couple of amazing solo records. And from his first solo record, I was able to pick this stuff with some really great female background vocals and horns. And so I brought Laura and another friend of hers in to do backups, and we just kind of became friends from there. We brought her in for a session to kind of try some stuff out, and it's just really grown since then. And at the core of it, it's really the four of us, and we have a couple of bass players that we really like to play with, a couple pedal steel players that we really like to play with, a couple of horn guys that we keep going back to, that kind of thing. So
on average, how many people do you have per show? Is it usually the nine piece, or does it really depend?
We really do try and do the nine piece. It's one of those things where it's a pain, you know, and not everybody can do every show. So that's why it really became like the four of us are kind of at the core. If the four of us can do the show, let's find out which one of these guys can do it. And, you know, they've been great about it. Everybody kind of understands the greater good aspect of the band. We're all really trying to, you know, kind of turn that corner, essentially. And so we want to give the best show possible. So we want as many instruments out there to represent the sound that we create for every show.
Town on the edge of a desert with a few motels and a restaurant feeling station or past cash out. Found myself there in a bit of a hot spot. In cool anger, 200 miles away. Take it so fast, so fast.
Got the new album out, Let the Devil Win, kind of moving into where the band is going. What did you want to have in the album, I guess, you know, whether it's the sounds, whether it's the lyrics of it, what did you really want to, what was kind of the thing that brought it all together?
The thing that brought the album together was almost just circumstance. Honestly, we've been recording since 2012 and not really put anything out. We put out a couple EPs here and there and didn't really promote it or anything, but gave it to some friends. We got some music placements and that kind of like got the ball rolling in the band, which was great. And then it, you know, it kind of happened where we got on this really great tour last fall and it was like, oh man, we should put a record out. It might be smart and promote it and tour and do the whole thing. So we went back and looked at all the tracks that we had recorded. And we're talking about 20 songs, probably 22 songs at this point. And it was really a matter of, well, these all come from about 4 or 5 sessions total. What works the best together? What really showcases the sound that we do live? Where do we think we're going? What would be the next logical step kind of thing? Like, what would build us to our next logical step? So lyrically, it was heavily involved, you know, because I think there's stuff on the record that, you know, it shows it's all about a good time, that whole sense of let the devil win, you know, and like, let's just, you know, let's have a party kind of thing. But there's also aspects of it which are, you know, heartfelt and more to like Curious and Kind, or Instead, that aging process, that whole sense of like, where am I going with my life? You know, like the Bruce Springsteenisms of it all. So lyrically, fundamentally, and then musically, it was finding those 10 to 12 songs that we thought would really make a great album. And we were really, really fortunate in the midst of all this. We've recorded everything, almost everything, in Los Angeles at Rami Jaffe Studios at Phonogenic, except for 2 songs, which we did at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. And those were the last 2 songs that we had recorded. And it really captured something there that we just knew we wanted on the record. So there were about 3 or 4 other songs that we knew we wanted, and then we added those 2 and kind of built around, so to speak.
And you talk a little bit about that kind of fun, you know, you think about all these different tracks on the album that I listened to, Should Have Been Me, Let the Devil Win. It's like really all those ideas really came through on the record, where it is a lot of a good time. And it's interesting, some of the sounds you brought in, because some of it kind of sounds like a little New Orleans jazz type of feel in certain parts. And at the same time, you're able to bring in those Bruce Springsteen and those, even Mellencamp type of sounds that, you know, when you do need to get a little more serious, yeah, you can get a little more serious too.
Well, and that's what I love about both of those artists. I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. I'm a big John Mellencamp fan. But I'm also a big Alan Toussaint fan, a big Little Feat fan. I love New Orleans jazz. You know, I'm a big blues geek. So incorporating all that stuff, distilling all those influences is kind of our forte, so to speak. And that's what we like to do. So it's having something that's fundamentally there, and there might be a point to it, but musically it's fun, or it's just fun in general, or it can be sad and depressing, you know, and it all kind of aligns itself from song to song.
And at the same time, I can see why you're like, you know what, four piece, we could do it, but nine people on stage, then you're really having fun.
Right. Well, and you look at artists like we were just talking about, like a Springsteen or a Mellencamp, and those are guys that can do it with their big 9-10 piece band and then turn around and do it just stripped down acoustic. And pretty much every song on the record, I could whip out a guitar right now and just play for you, and it would sound, you know, it would sound different, but it's something you could play around a campfire. And I think there's a lot to be said for that, especially today when there's so much electronic music and so much digital, you know, changes that happen in songs, you know, not to get examples or anything, but I think there's a lot to be said for being able to just pick up a guitar, play the same song that you just heard a 9-piece band play completely. So.
And that's one of the amazing things, you know, you kind of are down that Americana route where you do incorporate a lot of these different sounds of folk, of blues, of, you know, rock and roll, of all these different things that have been important. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's that bass song, but there's so many ways that you can build upon that and really bring it out with more, you know, hey, let's throw in some horns, see what, you know, what kind of, where the song goes with that piece in there. Oh, let's see what we can do with some really cool drum work, you know, really different ways that you can put the whole entire piece together.
Oh, exactly. And live, you take, you know, Should Have Been Me, for example, which has kind of been the single off the record so far. When we do that live, right now we're kind of closing, not to spoil it for anyone, but we're closing with that song. And what we do is we let it do the kind of fade out thing that it does on the piano and the trombone. And then we bring it back up. And that's a straight, like, ripoff of Bruce Springsteen, like, going back into Badlands. And what we do is we have a bit of a jam session, for lack of a better term. And the trumpet will come up and play off the electric guitar and the fiddle. And, you know, it's a nice little turn. You know, everybody will trade solos, almost like how McCartney does Golden Slumbers. You know, he'll do the three guitar trades with his guitar players and stuff. So that's kind of the influence of that, and taking that song off of record and making it live, but not too far off. You know, we're not there yet, kind of thing.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, it almost sounds like you started out as live songs, you were going for that on the record, so kind of turning around and saying, let's do it again live, it's like that's kind of where it's based out of anyway. You know, that's the whole idea, and you really hear that on the record where it feels, you know, I went to your shows. I've been to the 9-piece show when you had it at the Roxy. It was like, you know, boom. I listened to the record. I'm like, this is pretty much the same thing. You know, this is not saying it's exactly the same. You know, there's still little highlights in the record that pop out. But, you know, it's like, okay, you were able to bring what I saw on stage and bring it to a record, which is a challenge. Right. You know, it's not easy just to be able to be on live on stage and have it still come through the speakers on the other end when you're sitting in the studio.
Yeah, and that was one of the things we really focused on when we were recording in general. Whatever session it was, we didn't want to get too overdub happy. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a sense of, I don't want to say urgency, but there's a sense of now in all of those songs where it's minimal overdubs. Most of what you're hearing was captured live, with very few exceptions. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it does translate so well to stage that we've been able to really, I don't know. I think it works with the audience. The audience seems to really kind of get into it. And then when they get the record, you know, I've gotten emails or we've gotten posts on our social media saying, you know, I really like the show. I really like the record too. You know, and that's nice because a lot of times, I mean, as a music fan myself, I've seen a band live and I'm like, this is great. I got to get their record. And I go and I get their record. And I'm like, this stinks. You know, and it's like they're a live band, you know, and I want us to be a studio band and a live band.
I don't know what to think, say a few, dropping you off from behind the wheel. Had this fight maybe once or twice, and now I don't think it's one of those nights. We've gone too far to see this through. Time's running out. Last fight. too far to see this through.
Fortunately for you, you've had a lot of ability to connect with some people. We were talking before this a little bit about how you were out on the road with Stapleton. Very fortunately for you, right after he got big.
Yeah, dumb luck.
Dumb luck on that one. But still, you know, Leanne Womack, you opened a show for her here at the Roxy. That's where I saw you first. And Kaboo, what was that experience like? Because I kept hearing about it. I'm like, whoa, there's so many artists who are down there. What was that, being able to be surrounded by so many different so many great bands?
It was awesome. That was our first festival that we weren't backing up another artist, actually. So the cool thing about that was our name was on the bill. Like, that had never happened to us. So just to see your name up there with, like, the Avett Brothers and, you know, Aerosmith and Jimmy Buffett, it's the craziest thing. And then you go and you play this great, you know, big stage, and, you know, all these people kind of are walking by and they stop, you know, because they don't know who you are. Mostly because you're at the bottom of the bill when you're at our level, and they stop and they stay there. And that was the really cool thing. After we played, you know, we started off there, I don't know, there were 20, 30 people there when we first started playing. But by the time we were done, there were a few hundred. You know, it was one of those things where the way they build that whole day, you know, the great bands like the Wild Feathers, the Avett Brothers were that day. Jason Isbell was that day. We were just kind of like perfectly in sync, where fans of those guys could come and see us as they got there, and then they could go see all those other bands. Well, and I think that's the beauty of a festival, is the discovery aspect of it. And that's why we're so anxious to do more. And we were so excited to do Kaboo.
Yeah, and now the big one, I mean, you're taking it to the next level. You're doing Stagecoach, man.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I'm a huge Stagecoach fan. I've been going to Stagecoach for like the past 5 years at least. I took my son last year. He had just learned to walk too. It was a lot of fun. But it's such a great festival. There's so many great bands that have played that and that are playing this year. And the stage that we're on, I can't believe it. Like, I mean, the day that we're on, excuse me. I mean, like Willie Nelson. I mean, Shania Twain. Like, if you told me that was going to happen. You know, Jamie Johnson's playing the same day. Margo Price. So many great singer-songwriters, you know, rock bands. Tommy James and the Shondells. I mean, that's like, I grew up on that stuff from my dad. Like, that's amazing.
It's incredible where, you know, Stagecoach is now because of that convergence of, you know, there's country. It used to be there's country. And there's rock, and now there's this like middle ground of Americana, where, you know, even throwing some of the folk stuff, and it's like Stagecoach has kind of capitalized on that. They brought in all these people, like, you know, I see the day before you, it's like, you know, Elle King, you know, she's someone who started out in the rock and roll world, but, you know, a little bit of the pop side, and then bam, all of a sudden now she's hanging out with country stars, and it's like, you know, she has a spot during Stagecoach. So it's interesting to see how even Stagecoach has continued into that convergence of all these different, of that country sound, of rock, of folk, and into that Americana that's kind of been like this growing swell of, you know, Stapletons, of the Isbells, of the Margot Prices and the Sturgill Simpsons, you know, all these different artists who have kind of bridged that gap between rock and country.
Yeah, and a lot of great artists. I mean, Anderson East is playing. I think, you know, he's a bit in line with what we're doing as well, with the horns and stuff. He's more straight, in my opinion.
A little more soul.
He's a little more straight soul, you know, and we just kind of dabble in soul, you know, like. But there's, yeah, I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis is playing.
Yeah.
You told me when I was 12, you know, obsessed with, like, class, you know, original rock and rollers like Elvis and Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, like, you know, all these guys. If you had told me when I was 12 that I was going to be on a bill, that someday my band name was going to be on the same bill as Jerry Lee Lewis, I would have lost it. I mean, still, I'm kind of losing it now because this is, like, honestly, this is one of my favorite festivals that happens in general.
Yeah.
And just to be able to play it is very, very exciting.
Scream out. guys so much. Thank you. We are the Wildcats. Come by, say hello, grab a CD and a t-shirt. Thank you again, KSN. KCSN. Thank you again, everybody.
It's Tom Cusimano here of the Walcott. So happy to have him in. So happy you're going to be playing Stagecoach coming up. But the great album out now called Let the Devil Win. And so happy to be able to listen back to some of the songs you're able to record outside of Studio V at Westfield Topanga. So thank you so much for coming on in for to talk.
Oh, thank you so much for having us for the live show. And thank you for having me in today. I appreciate it.
Of course. It's 88.5 KCSN.